Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob, this is absolutely incrinculent. We have Tyler Kennedy sitting across from us.
And Tyler Kennedy.
If I start Kennedy. Hearing that in the mall, in that voice.
And we're going to have Max Talbot by video hookup very shortly. Stream your local NFL game all season long. Kicking off with the juicy Week 3 matchup between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New England Patriots, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Tyler Kennedy, before we get to Max, I mean, the Penguins are opening camp here. Bob, of all the questions you have, I don't know about you, but the one I have is, why is Erik Karlsson still here? We're starting camp.
Well, I don't think they can probably get rid of him, right? I think everyone knows they're willing to trade him. I just don't think a deal can be made with that contract. With the year he's had last year, I think they're stuck with him. And he's a talented guy. There's no question. No one can carry the puck up the ice like Erik Karlsson. The thing that hurts him so much is you got to bring him in. You got to put the reins on and be like, dude, you got to distribute the puck and you got to play harder in front of our net. You do those two things, you'll be a rock solid player for us and we'd probably trade you. You know, you'd probably have a team that's willing. But right now, every GM, every scout that watches, the first thing they say is, hey, like, he just gives up the puck too much. He gives up too many turnovers. He's a one-way player. Again, if he cleans his game up, he can be an extremely effective player for the Pittsburgh Penguins. But again, he doesn't play how he needs to play at his age.
How much of the issue may be the contract? And another team may want him and say, okay, but Penguins, you're going to have to pay half of that salary.
Yeah, that's a second part of the issue, right? How much you're going to eat to get rid of him, you know? Because he's made, what, $10 million?
I think he's making 10 plus or 11 this year. I mean, he's making a lot of money.
Like, so you get 13 NHL checks throughout the year. You only get 13, so they're...
How is that? Why is that the case? You get paid...
Like, you literally don't start getting paid until, like, 2 weeks into the year. So you only get paid during the season.
Twice a month, Bob.
That's what it is, twice a month. My math is not that good, so.
So the checks are monsters. Like, there is
monsters. That's, yeah.
Like, just think, $10 million. What's $10 million divided by 13? Like, he's getting
limits.
What?
You want to look that up, please? He's trying to hook up Max.
I will.
Max Talbot.
I have my little trusty.
$10 million?
Like, they're like $750,000.
Can you imagine getting a check for seven? Well, you can. You're Tyler Kennedy. For $750,000 limits? What's the first thing you'd do with that money?
$769,230.79.
Maybe invest in a boat?
No, you'd increase Drew Aller's NIL. Max Talbot is reaching out right now, even as we speak. Bob, what was your question?
How much? Sorry,
$769,000 every 2 weeks. That's a pretty good thing to get.
Oh, Jesus. I'd take one of those a year.
I got to believe, though, that eventually there is a team out there that's very close to winning that would need somebody like this.
Like who?
Like Karlsson.
Oh.
To put him over the edge. You know what I mean? A power play guy who their power play is not working
well.
Is he
a power play guy?
I think he...
He got ripped off the power play here and they got better with Matt Grazlick.
If you look at him in his previous life, and especially in San Jose, he was a guy who was making it all happen. What I'm saying is there's got to be a team that would want him with conditions applied.
Well, Bob, I don't think so, because when you think of playoff hockey, it doesn't really suit the way Karlsson plays, right? Like... In the playoffs, you need the one guy that plays kind of like Karlsson. Usually they already have him, But the rest of the guys are really guys that play hard, play simple, and move the puck. Like, the biggest flaw I have with him is guys just out-muscle him in front of the net, and it gets so much harder in the playoffs. And when I used to go to the net in playoffs, like, I'd be licking my chops.
So let me ask you, I'm going to go back then.
I love.
Why did the Penguins get him, and why was Mike Sullivan so happy to have him if they knew that he was this kind of player, which was what they already had, and they needed what you just described, which is more physical guy in front to take care of that? Why would they be so happy to get him and give him the kind of money or inherit the contract they got?
Well, I think the one thing, Kyle Dubas needed to make a splash when he first got here, and I think that was a big one. This was a guy that was going to make a splash. They said the ticket sales, I think, doubled when they got him. So that was a little bit of a reason. And
what did ticket sales do when Ryan Graves was signed to the long-term contract that pays him a lot of money?
We have Max Talbot on the line.
Oh.
We don't have him on video because we can't
get
him
on video. Well, he's in Montreal,
right? Yeah, but okay. It doesn't mean he can't be on video.
No, I'm just saying
there's something wrong with the video, Bob.
Okay. Well, hopefully there's nothing wrong with Max Talbot because we want to give him superstar treatment the way he deserved it.
Yes, we do.
Commercial that still resonates better than any commercial.
Tyler, say hello to your buddy.
Maxie, two goals in the Stanley Cup final, guy that was a hero on and off the ice, guy that went out all night but showed up, the hardest working guy in the morning, old school guy that I thoroughly enjoyed playing with, both on ice and off ice. Welcome, Max. Thank you for coming on, buddy.
Thanks, guys. It's a pleasure. And really, I'm going to be honest with you. It's not because my camera doesn't work. It's just my face is just made for radio, you know?
That makes two of us.
No, I think the ladies in Pittsburgh would disagree with that back when in the day here. So I'm gonna start there. But I know this is off the beaten path, but I'm going to get this out of the way. I told Tyler last week that you once hit me with a divot at a driving range at Laurel Valley at Mary Lemieux's tournament. I don't know if you remember that. But you took such a big chunk of turf, and it flew backwards and hit me right in the face, which I thought was rather interesting.
Yeah, that happens. I'm a little better than I used to be. I would spend my summers working out back in the days, but now I have a little bit more time in my hands, so I'm a little better. But I could certainly do that again.
Max, I'm curious. What do you get asked about more these days, even in Montreal, the shush play against the Flyers or the two goals in Game 7?
It has to be the two goals Game 7. You know, it's especially here in Montreal, it made such a, you know, obviously it was the news and the paper and everything. I feel like the shush thing was more of like a Pittsburgh cultural stuff that happened. But I'm proud of both moments, obviously, because the shush thing came first. So if that didn't happen, maybe we would have not...
Oh. Max, you still there?
Yep, I'm here.
Oh, Max, I got a million questions because I love this. But the one thing I always wondered, and we never really had a chance to sit down and talk, is obviously you went from the Penguins to Philadelphia Flyers. And I just feel like you were such a hero here playing for Pittsburgh. Was it something that you guys were too far apart in contract negotiations, or was it you were going to wait it out and that was your time to get paid? Like, or again, were you guys close, or were you waiting for something else? Like, explain to
no,
me
we
how the contracts
close.
Went. Sorry.
I would have signed in May if it would have been close, you know. Like, obviously there was some teams calling that. Like Pat Bussana was my agent like earlier in the summer. So I knew there was interest, but it was more about the length of the contract, the secure of the number of years, you know, because, you know, TK, like guys in a role like that we played, you're always fighting for a chance, fighting for a contract. So the length, the security of the length is super important, number of years. So Pittsburgh was stuck at 2 years, and Ray was, you know, Ray was honest. Because I remember after the season, I went with Sid Stahl and Paul Martin. We went back in France to just enjoy the off season, and I was talking to Sid. I obviously wanted to come back, and they were trying to make it work. But at 2 years compared to, I knew
So it was more a security thing. And to be honest, I had some teams that called that offered me more than what Philly offered me. But at that point in my career where, you know, I wanted to win again. So it was just not about the money. It was more about the length of the contract, the security, obviously. But after that, when the other teams called and I made my peace with Pittsburgh, it was more like, where can I have a chance to win? And I felt like Philly was the team that summer that spent more money with going to get Priscalla, which was, supposedly the best goalie available. And Jagr, that was coming in that team too. So it was obviously heartbreaking for me. And I understood that, you know, the fans in Pittsburgh were not going to be happy that I was going to go there. But at one point, you know, Tyler, you're 27 years old. You're thinking about your future, your family. And I think that the Flyers were the team where, you know, that was the best fit for me at that time.
Yeah, RIP Ray, but Ray was the two-year king. He'd give two-year deals out left and right. I think I got stuck with, you know, three contracts in a year for those 2 years. Another thing, you say your agent was Pat Brisson, right? And obviously Pat Brisson's making a lot of waves right now with some of his comments with Sidney Crosby. How is Montreal reacting like how Pittsburgh is right now? How is that going on? What do you think of that situation?
It's funny because I work the media here in Montreal, and I thought that the news was kind of overstated in Montreal, but for Pittsburgh to kind of hear the same things, I feel like it's weird, but I think it's just rumor. It might come from Pittsburgh too, from Montreal too, that the media are so excited about the team this year and about the vision of maybe having a chance to have Sidney Crosby, but you can't read too much into it. But obviously Pat coming out and talking about it, I don't know what to think about it, because I was listening to radio this morning in Montreal. They're talking about McDavid too, that has like negotiation issues with Edmonton. And you know, I feel like in Montreal, we have too much time in our hands, so we're trying to make things up too. Everybody's so hockey here, and they're trying to make stories up sometimes. But, you know, it all comes down to Sid at the end of the day. And for me as a friend and as a fan of the team, and I don't know what to think. You know, you would have asked me a year ago, I'm like, nah, no way, he's leaving now. Speculations are up in the air, and it all comes down to Sidney Crosby's decision, I think.
Max Talbot on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. He authored really three pretty legendary moments. The shush game against the Flyers. We all know the bobblehead that came out of that. Two goals in game seven. And maybe one people forget about, but I never will, and I don't think Penguins fans ever will, is game five the year before with, 34 seconds left. Talbot scores, and then Fleury made, did he make, 52 saves that night?
It was huge that night.
What do you remember about that one, Max, about your goal and about Fleury's performance?
Well, I remember that goal, obviously, because it's probably my favorite memorabilia that I have in my basement. It's a big frame of the picture right after I scored that goal. I'm behind Chris Osgood. We're at the end of the game, and I scored that goal. And I got a picture where you can see my face full of joy, and you can see Crosby and Malkin coming at me. So you see both of their backs with their name in on the jersey, and they both signed it. It's a big frame. So this goal is, to me, is awesome, like when I think about it. But obviously, we were not able to finish winning the Stanley Cup. So I feel it's irrelevant in some way. Obviously, you got a game six back in the Mellon, and it was super exciting. But we didn't get to win the Cup that year. But obviously, for Michel Therrien to put me on the ice at the end of the game to – you know, when Detroit is up 3-2 and you can see the cup on the Jumbotron and everybody's screaming, we want the cup in Detroit and to tie the game. So Therrien had so many good options on the bench, you know, so many good players waiting to get pushed in the back to take Fleury. And he was a coach that, you know, a good bench coach that has a lot of feeling. So he pushed me in the back and, it was great. And that whole game, you know, we went into third overtime and Gonchar got hurt, I think, first overtime or during the game. And he stayed cold for two periods, like trying to rest up his shoulder, I think it was. And then he came back in the third overtime to assist on Peter Sikorik's goal that He called it in between the second and third overtime. He called it. He was going to get it. So there's so many things that happened during that game, which is obviously a good memory.
It's amazing to think about that. So now you're in the media, which I find interesting because you're very loquacious is the word I'd like to use about you. You know how to talk and you get yourself in and out of situations. I want to know about Sidney Crosby, though, from what you think of him in terms of how long he's going to play. We had a discussion the other night on one of the TV shows about how long he'll play. I get the feeling he's going to take this as long as he can. Is that accurate? Do you think he'll just go and play until he feels he can't be at the same level?
I think so. He's such a competitor. I think he wants to play. He's a guy that's obviously tipped up shape. I look at guys now, you know, I watch, I don't know if you saw some videos of Chris Letang working out this summer, and I have a chance to live not too far from him, and we sometimes get on the ice together, and he's such a machine. So guys like this, you know, Sidney Crosby's one of his nicknames, his creature, you know, and there's a reason for that. He's such a well-built guy that, yes, he could play forever. And I don't think there's a good way for him to retire. You know, if I can take Ovechkin's like last season for me, like if I were Ovechkin, I would have like shut it right after the season, just beat Wayne Gretzky's record. It's like, everybody's like celebrating the whole season. Like, okay, you've done it for Sid. Like, unless he has a chance to win another Stanley Cup or something. I'm trying to think about what would be the right way to do it. But one advice I have for everybody who's listening and all the fans in Pittsburgh is, like, yes, the team is maybe not as doing as well as it, you know, the fans are used to, but just to have a chance to go watch a Pittsburgh Penguins game with Crosby, Malkin, and Letang in your lineup, like, go to the rink and enjoy it with your eyes, because it's not going to last forever. And the privilege you guys have to have this guy in your lineup is something super amazing.
No question. We've been spoiled all the way through with so many great players dating back to when Mario was first drafted, too, and Jágr and everybody else who came along, too. I asked that only because Jágr's still playing. And that's a guy who's just like a hockey lover. He doesn't want to give it up.
Yeah, it's pretty special. Max, obviously, again, I'd love to talk about another guy, the other part of the two-headed monster, Evgeny Malkin. Gino, we both know, is a character, right? He's different. He's a lot different from Sid. Unbelievably talented, but just different. Like one-liners, stuff like that. You know, he's a little more showy. He's got the fast cars. Do you have any good stories that maybe you can share that are, you know, we can share on the radio about Evgeny Malkin? Because, again, I love just watching Malkin and how he used to grab anyone's stick and go play with it. And, you know, he was just different, right? And talented. Yep. And obviously you were a guy that, you know, enjoyed himself a lot and were around Malkin and played on his line. Any good stories of Evgeny Malkin?
Well, there's many. There's some, obviously, I can't tell on radio, like you mentioned, because I was his, you know, his roommate for a couple of years when he got in the league. And it was pretty funny, you know, because he wouldn't speak your word English. And you know, and I think that's why they put it roommate with me, because, you know, I was the guy that's not super shy. But at the start, you know, he didn't know a word. After the second year, you know, he could obviously... we were in a room one night and we were going to order room service, and it's been like two years and he's in the league, 2.5 years. And, you know, I'm like, Gino, what do you want? You know? And he's like, Max, call for me for food. I'm like, what do you want? He's like, I want a steak, medium rare. And he could definitely speak, but he was kind of, you know, letting me do his message for him. And I was like, come on, man, like, just order yourself. And that's from the phone. Cause I'm like, at one point, you know, you gotta go for it. But thinking about that, you know, Penguins, again, you're like so fortunate that Malkin had Gonchar to start his career, you know, like Sid had Mario, that he went and lived at his house and learned the ropes. Like we got to give a lot of credit to Sergei Gonchar and the way that Malkin was raised into that team. And he had some good leadership around him and a Russian guy that made him feel comfortable. And I got to give a lot of props to Gonch for that. But Gino, like, he was always so funny and so great, you know, spending time with him, and like the way that it worked between Sid and Gino, and it still works. And I saw like video yesterday. You saw the videos probably on the Penguins like social media, and you see like Letang, Malkin, and Sid like behaving like total kids, you know. And it's so funny, and it's so great, and it's their real personalities, and what a, you know, that's what I try to say when, you know, for the fans to be able to still have these three big guys playing for the team is pretty amazing.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, like when I look at them now, and you can probably attest to this, that I feel like at the beginning of their career, there was so much pressure, especially on Sid. And now that you see him, he's like a father to so many of those young players. But again, those three, I feel like they're really enjoying hockey more now than ever because they do know their age. They do know they're not on the front nine, you know, and it's just funny to see that because, again, we both were around at the beginning, and I just remember the amount of pressure from the media, from everyone on them. And, again, seeing them yesterday, it's pretty remarkable to see them having more fun with it.
And they're lucky. They're lucky because Pittsburgh is such a good market, you know. Like, they would have not been able to be themselves like that in Montreal, I suppose, you know, because the pressure would have been 10 times extra. You know, I always say Pittsburgh is such a good, you know, media town. Like, yes, there's pressure, but I feel like the media were almost part of the team, you know, the beat writers and everything. Like, they were never so hard on the team in a way, you know. And I think they obviously they realized how much luck they had to cover that team. I hope so, you know, winning three cups and in the last 16 years, but it's a special place. And these guys, like you mentioned, they're growing up like old wine, you know. You see Sid, like what amazed me last year, I covered the team for a couple games and doing that podcast, Altcast, and it was like, it's great. You go to morning skates and Sid is there in the room and he just hangs out. And you can feel even after a loss, you know, he stays even quill, even though he wants to win all the time. He's a big brother to all these guys, and that's going to transcend and last for years to that culture that he built. So it's a big privilege.
Max Talbot on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. All right, so much still to talk about, Max. And one topic is Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final. And this guy sitting across from me. Let me read to you guys from a story that came out. And that was a great hockey game.
I thought that was the best game and the most electric I've ever heard Mellon Arena.
Well, it started with the Red Wings getting 15 of the first 19 shots. So here comes the story. The Red Wings were pressing for the tying goal in the third, only to have Tyler Kennedy. Bob, go ahead.
Tyler Kennedy. Kennedy.
A third-line forward who scored in each of the last two home games, make it 2-0 at 5:35. Ruslan Fedotenko and Max Talbot pressured to keep the puck in the zone, allowing Kennedy to gather it behind the net and carry it in front. Osgood stopped his initial shot. But who scored, Bob?
Tyler Kennedy. Kennedy.
What do you remember about this guy, Max, and about that hockey game?
Well, it's funny because yesterday during the day, I was doing a radio interview back here in Montreal, and we were talking about, you know, the Habs and everything, and I'm like, it's so important to have a good third line, you know. And the Staal, Kennedy, and Cook line was, you know, the big reason why we won that cup. You know, they were so good night in, night out. You knew what to expect. I felt like they were, you know, with Staal being big, Cookie just going and hitting guys in the back. And then you had, like, you know, Kennedy with his twisted wrist or just, you know, driving the net. So they had such good energy. And throughout the season, they carried us for a while. Like, think about the 1-2-3 punch, you know, 1-2-3 punch, like, between Crosby, Malkin, and Staal. It was just amazing. And TK was a big part of it. So they were clutch, you know. And Staal scored a big one, I think. Was it that game or that PK goal?
Yeah, it was that game. Like, I think it was a shorthanded goal, wasn't it?
That game.
Shorthanded goal.
Exactly. He scored the first one. So, they were so good. And obviously, TK brought his crazy energy every night. And, you know, it was the one line that you couldn't touch, you know, like that you knew these three guys were going to stay together. And they were a big part of our victories for sure.
Yeah, third line is very important, even in the run in 16-17 with the HBK, you know, all those things that you need. I want to ask you about Marc-Andre Fleury because he's making news now, Max, just about his entire career, the fact that he's coming back here. I think ticket sales are going through the roof for a preseason game. I've never seen so many high prices for a preseason game. Your thoughts about him coming back? I thought this is the right play, but overall, just his career and what he's meant to Penguins hockey.
Well, you know that Flower doesn't like attention. He looks like a guy that he might like it because he does all these pranks, but he never really does it for media, right? So for him, his farewell tour last year was huge. You know, he had a huge game in Montreal, all his family. I think there were over 100 people in the stands to watch him play his last game in Montreal. Then Pittsburgh was amazing. He got the first star against the Penguins. And you know, I remember Flower talking to Jen Bilano before the game, and he knew he was going to get a tribute, but he's like, I don't want a big one. You know, I want something funny. So they showed videos of him pranking guys. And so he's pretty emotional about it. I had a chance to be at his retirement party this summer, and what a party it was. Like, it was, you know, guys from different teams that he played with, you know, some of his favorite teammate. Like, and it was just so much fun. It was a 2-day event. And even then, he wasn't sure he wanted the retirement party, but he kind of got forced into it by his buddies. And same thing with the game in Pittsburgh, you know, like we talked this summer, he had this opportunity and he wasn't sure he wanted to do it. And not because he doesn't associate himself with Pittsburgh. It's just like, I don't need all that attention, but I'm like, Flower, think about the fans, you know, in some way it's so cool for them. Think about the team and your family too. After this last thing, there's going to be the Hall of Fame, and after you're a nobody. Not really, but you know, like the party's over in some way. You know, you're gonna you know, clean dirt of your kids and that's it. You're just gonna be a dad. So enjoy these last moments and what a great idea from the team, and I'm so glad that he accepted it, and he's going to be in the net, and it's like, it's amazing. And he had offers this summer too. There, a lot of teams called for him to be a backup or even, like, you know, be in the net, and he was like, okay, like, that's the thing. We talked about Sid earlier. When is he going to retire? When is he going to be in the right moment? So I feel the best thing is to go out on your terms, and that's what Flower's doing. And what a career, what a guy, what a chance to have, you know, Adam seen, like, Flower at his best, evaluate himself as an amazing person, and the influence that he keeps on the game. Like, if you think about young goalies looking at Fleury and looking at the way why he played so long, it's just because he had so much fun doing it, right? He would bring his crazy energy every day, and it's such a good example for kids that are trying to make it, you know, just go at the rink, have a blast, and make the best of it. And you're going to improve like that just by having a good attitude. And Flower, to me, is definitely a perfect teammate.
Max Talbot going to join us here till the top of the hour. Thanks to Tyler Kennedy sitting right across from us. We still have more questions, Max. I know Tyler has a couple. I want to go back to game 7. I'm sure you've never gone over that game before, but I'm sure also that you love going over that game. So we'll talk about all that with Max.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler Kennedy in for the 11 o'clock hour, and he brought his buddy Max Talbot, at least by phone, and now by video, we hope, on our YouTube channel. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. And the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Tyler, you want to bring in Max? Is the video line working?
Yeah, I just saw him.
There he is.
There he is.
Look at that. Gray, distinguished. He's got all the looks it takes.
Look at that. That's a full head of hair. Great job, Max. Solid beard.
Thank you. I work hard on it.
Yeah, I know.
I'm actually brown. This is all just painted white just to have a little cool look.
Wow, look at that background. That's awesome. Talking to you brings back so many special memories, man. You had like goosebumps on the back of my neck the way you're talking about those teams and all that stuff. Like, wow, that was like when I look back at my whole career, that was the heart of it. You know, that was.
Now you guys did something that not every player is guaranteed, and that's an opportunity to play in big stakes games and win them. And Max, nobody did more with those games than you did. I mean, you weren't a high draft pick, but you had to come in and earn it every step of the way, and then you become a central figure in all of this. That had to feel gratifying for your career.
Super grateful about it, you know. And I say this, it's like you need a lot of luck, obviously, to be in that position. You know, whether what team you're getting drafted on, what coach you get, what teammates you get, where the team is located in its rebuilding phases. And if I take the example of me and my best buddy, like I grew up with Bruno Gervais. He played 8 years in NHL. He was drafted by the Islanders. He had a chance to, you know, build something with that team. But they made the playoff once, you know, and it's like they were not in the same phase as we were. And for me and TK to get into that team at the right moment where, you know, my draft was, you know, you get there the same, not my draft, was not Sidney Crosby's draft, but the first chance you have to make the NHL, you make it with Sidney Crosby. It's Mario Lemieux last year, so you have a chance to experiment that. And after that, we all kind of grew up together in such a good atmosphere. And I feel like everything got into place that you look back at your career, like TK just mentioned. You know, I sometimes cover the Habs game and I look at the team on the ice and all the players. I'm like, I feel like I don't believe that I played in that league. You know, you look at it as a fan and as someone that analyzed the game, but at the same time, like I was there, I was that guy. And it's been only 6 years removed out of my career. And you already have that feeling that like, it's surreal feeling that we won a cup and that we had such these good experience.
Well, not only did you play, you had one of the greatest game sevens in the history of the sport. And I'm wondering if you can take us back, Max, to June 12th, 2009. I think you guys may have woken up to Mario's text about the game that night. And I'm wondering if you had any inkling that it was going to be a special night for the team and for you. What was the morning like and just getting ready for that game in which you did historic things?
Well, it's obviously an exciting situation. And from 2008 to 2009 was such a different vibe, I feel. We had more belief in us, but the Red Wings were as good, if not better, in 2009. And we were able to get that, well, with TK's goal, you know, we were able to get to game seven. And I feel just getting there was huge, but except game five of 2008, we didn't win a game in Detroit. So they were good. And game five of 2009, if you remember, they beat us 5-0. We didn't touch the puck at all. Game five.
That was
game six. So there was a lot of pressure, a lot of hype. Obviously, Mario Lemieux's text was huge, and it's an amazing story. But after that, you still got to go on the ice and make it happen. And losing Sidney Crosby in the second period too, if you remember, he got hurt. Yeah. He didn't finish the game, so it changed the whole lines. And TK, we had a chance to watch that game together for an FSN TV show 2-3 years ago, and we watched the entirety of it. And I haven't done that like for years. So just to watch the whole game, and if I can take the example of like a tennis player or something, and to be in the flow is something you have. It doesn't happen often, you know, throughout the season. The season is long, so you got to be in the flow at the right moment. I feel like game seven, we were all connected, and I was certainly in the flow where I watched myself play, and I can say that's probably the best game of my life, not just because I scored the two goals. It's like I was looking at me, at myself skate and where my stick was, and I had so much energy, and that's being on the flow. And why did that happen that night? And it's the belief, the preparation, the mental aspect. I feel like you say it often, but like I've played it so many times in my head, that game, right? So it's kind of preparation, but the belief that we were going to win was certainly there for me, and I was ready to go, and it worked out. So we it's obviously an amazing memory.
Yeah, that was, again, the way you played. And I think all the boys are so excited the way you're scoring this and that. But I think I want to rewind it to the morning of when the reporter asked you, I forget how it went, but do you see yourself scoring a game winning in game seven? When was that, Max?
They said, like, one reporter asked me, like, there's always a big story about games like this. Like, who do you think is going to make a difference tonight? And with no hesitation, my answer was like, well, I'd like to think it's going to be me, you know, like I totally had the belief in that. And there was so many superstars in the team, but I was like, no, I'd like to think it's going to be me. So I had that belief that I could do it. And it starts there, you know, you have to believe in your head. You know, if you believe you can make it, you can make it. If you don't, there's not a chance you're going to be able to make it. So you have to have that belief. And sometimes we forget about that when we look at athletes performing games in, games out. Like the confidence aspect of things, yes, confidence comes from preparation, but to get to that place where you're in the flow and you believe in yourself that you're going to win is something else.
So I want to ask this because I am curious about best parties. We've heard a lot of different parties that happen after you win. The Stanley Cup goes everywhere. People do crazy things with the Stanley Cup. I'm just, from your point of view, Max, what was the best party moment after you won that cup?
Oh my God, there was so many. Well, there's an image that comes back in my head where I'm in the Mario Lemieux fountain, maybe at, you know, 5 a.m. that night in June. Well, it was June 13 now.
Yeah.
But I'm in Mario Lemieux fountain in my underwear, smoking a cigar with Rob Scuderi and Holly Gill. Sorry about that. So that's one of my favorite picture I have. I have one of Mario Lemieux, like, jumping in his pool with the cups, like with the cup like this in his hand, and I feel like he's walking on water, right? So there was when we're at Mario's TK on Saturday night after we won, it's like the street, the whole, we were, you know, in Southside, my favorite place, and
the king,
you know,
of Southside.
We got the cup out of, yeah, at Mario's on the Southside, and we have the cup where we're like, you know, bringing the cup outside the window. And the street just stops. There's people like stepping up on buses, and it was chaos down there. But for us, it was like we were part of the team, right? And we had to go from Mario's to Diesel across the street, another nightclub that it was one of our buddies. And I remember Jordan Stahl coming downstairs and walking through Mario's. That's just like people everywhere. And he's so tall, and he's holding a cup like this. Everybody's trying to touch him, and the security is around him. And we crossed the street with the cup, and it was just chaos, but so fun. And this the parade was amazing too, with the parking lot, like that got the 4 or 5 floors there full of people, and just to share this with your family too, you know, like my parents and brothers were in town, and it's just a special moment. And that summer too, my Stanley Cup party, I was obviously, I think I'm the guy that attended the most Stanley Cup parties in summer, right? And
you're,
I was hurt.
You're the betting odds favorite. Everybody said it's Max's.
Yeah, but I had a shoulder surgery that summer, so I was not going to play until like November. So I had time to celebrate a little bit longer. It was well planned from my end. My cup party was something I'm super proud of, where, you know, I got everybody that helped me get there just present and have the chance to spend the day with the cup. It's a privilege, and it's such like, you know, we were at Fleury's retirement party this summer. There was like Kunitz, Craig Adams, Hall Gill, Pascal Dupuis, and we're all there together. And it's like, I feel like that 2009 team, you know, and I was talking to Bill Guerin was there too. And I was talking to Kara, Bill Guerin's wife. And she said, Max, I've been in hockey for about, you know, 30 something years. And the 2009 team is still my favorite, you know, it's still my favorite group of players. And that means something, right, for someone that traveled and has been around Billy for all his life. And she's like, that 2009 team was so special. So you need this to win championship too, and we certainly had it.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. The team, everything was almost pretty much perfect. You know, obviously we're running out of time a little bit with you, Max. What are you doing now? Obviously, you know, you think you got right out of hockey and you started to coach, and now you're doing some other things. What gets Max up every day and gets him excited? Because sometimes after your career, you kind of have to find something that excites you.
Yeah, well, I'm doing sometimes a little too much right now. You know, I have three kids that are, you know, 11, 9, and 8, so that takes time in itself. So I'm being a dad first and foremost. I'm coaching my son at hockey. I work the games at RDS. I host a podcast now this year. We started yesterday, so that's pretty cool too. And the main thing I do right now, like it's this. It's like my new company. Like we started this about 2 years ago. It's called Beehive. It's a hydration company, drink. So we're competing against Gatorade, Body Armor. It's a healthier product. We have 10 grams of sugar. It's sugared with maple syrup. So we're building. We just signed Ivan Demidov, like the new Montreal Canadiens star. So we signed it, and that's actually, don't say it everywhere because we have an announcer in Montreal. So I hope it's nobody's listening to Montreal. Just, I'm so excited. It's a scoop. But so we're launching like something in the fall with his name on it. So I developed a lot. It's really a humbling thing to do, because sometimes you can see me with 20 cases of Beehive, like going to different pro shops and everything. So you do delivery, you do marketing, you do, but we're definitely passionate about it, and we're going to, you know, hydrate the future generation of athlete the right way with the right ingredients.
Sunny today, high of 85. That's Calvin Sweeney, low of 57 degrees. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Before we let you go, Max, one of the reasons you guys got to the Cup last year was the legendary game in Philly. You had been a teammate of Daniel Carcillo, I think, like 3 years earlier. Did you know that he was a guy that you could sort of, I don't know, sucker into a fight, that he was going to say yes? How did that all work?
I knew. I knew he was the guy that was not going to. But it was just a hunch, you know. Like, when I tell that story, is that we're down 3-0, and the first goal is kind of my fault. I'm like, I'm not going to score a hat-trick tonight, so what can I do? And so I just went after him and asked him to dance, and I'm very lucky that he said yes. And obviously, there's some, you know, I talk about the beginning of our career that we're lucky to fall on a team, but we're lucky that the team answered back here in the box. And, you know, next thing you know, we score two goals right away, and we're able to turn the game around. But if the guys don't score that goal, that fight means nothing too, you know. So it's just, you know, obviously might have got the guys going a little bit, but I was very fortunate that it fell into place and we're able to win. And I'm very proud. It's a cool moment, right? Like, I see the bubblehead there, and it's like, whoop, this way. Sorry. And it's like, it's a cool moment I'm proud of. Obviously, I don't encourage young guys to go and fight, but, you know, hockey is still a tough sport, and it's part of it.
Yeah. It people don't realize, Max, the coyotes you need to have to fight a guy like Daniel Carcillo. And that's when you think of Stanley Cup teams, they are made up of guys like you, guys that are willing to put it on the line and change momentum and put the team ahead of themselves. And again, Max, I know again, I'm getting shivers now just talking to you, because I know it takes a lot to ask a guy like Daniel. But again, if I'm building a Stanley Cup team, Max, you're a big ingredient part of that team. It was a pleasure playing with you.
DK. You're in it too, man. I would go to war every day of my life, Mocham. We had all the right ingredients. It's not easy like building and winning teams. And I look at the market here in Montreal, and they're trying to do it. And I feel like this team is looking more and more like the Penguins that we were in 2005, 2006. They're not there yet, but they need a little bit of that. They need a little bit of depth and the right guys in the right seat. But it's exciting to see. And obviously, it's not easy to win, but I'm very grateful that we're able to do this together, TK, man.
Yeah, you're will never be. You're always, again, Max, I walk around the city. This city loves you, and it's because of who you
bigger
are.
Bigger now than ever. Yeah. I mean, the stories get bigger. The Carcillo stories get bigger. Yeah. Everything gets bigger over time, and that's what makes it great. Never forget. Sports is great that way. Yes.
Thank you, Max, for taking the time.
Well, thank you for having me, guys. Thank you for having me. You guys are awesome. And, one last thing. I'll leave you on that. Like, people from Pittsburgh, go watch these guys and keep your eyes open and don't – you know, the team's going to go through some stuff for sure. I watched what Dubas said today. They want to compete and obviously and contend like the quicker than possible, but as quick as possible. But guys, like it's a privilege to watch these guys. So go at the rink and cheer on them because, sooner or later, they won't be there anymore. So enjoy these guys.
Max Talbot.
Thanks, Max.
Thanks, Tyler.
Man, thanks, Max. Obviously,
see you,
unbelievable.
Man. Thank you, guys.
Always good to see him. Thank you, Tyler, for setting it up. It's awesome.
That was incredible.
Oh, I'm telling you, he's the man. He was, you know, the guys you go to work, you enjoy seeing. He was that guy. So he's the man. We can honestly talk all day.
Thanks for doing that, Tyler. No, that was
again,
great.
I got to get on this because there's a lot of great guys from that 09 Cup, even guys that throughout my career.
I just love that, I think it was Ray Shiro's dad, Fred, who coined the phrase, we win together today, we walk together forever. And you could feel it when you guys were talking there, right?
That's I love that statement. That's perfect because that's what it is.
Oh, yeah. Again, you don't realize until you win with someone, right? You like, there's that bond that I never knew until I won. You know, it's weird. It's like this weird connection. But, yeah, we have it. Like, again, Max comes in for Mario's fantasy camp and – that week, I don't stop laughing because we just have a time, and it's joy being around him, other guys. It's a special sport, special team.
Well, we'll talk to you next week. I'm not going to promise anything, but we could have an unbelievable treat for next week, Bob.
Putting the pressure on TK here.
That's
little pressure.
He does well under pressure, right? Remember game six?
He's a big time performer. So
thanks, Tyler.
Thanks, boys.
See you, buddy.
All right, TK.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.